我们开始以前呢，我们先做一个祷告，求主的祝福和帮助。
Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us.
主，我们感谢您的良善。
And our prayer is that you will just be with us again this evening.
主，我们的祈求是您今天晚上再次与我们同
在。You have helped us so much in the past, and you have promised that the Holy Spirit will be with us as we study your word, and we pray that that will be the case now.
主啊，您过去给了我们很多的帮助，您应许，当我们学习您话语的时候，圣灵就会帮助我们，我们希望今天晚上也是这样。
So we pray that you will give to Eric the right words.
我们祈求您赐给 Eric 正确的话语。
And we pray that you will give to us hearts that will be responsive to the truth of your word.
主也求您给我们一颗心，让我们能够对您的真理能够有正确的回应。
And so, at this time then, we just ask your blessing and we give thanks in Jesus' name.
我们就祈求您祝福我们这个时间，我们这样的祷告是奉耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Harold. Well, good morning and good evening, as the case may be.
问候大家晚上好，或者是上午好，取决于大家在中国还是在加拿大。
The last 2 weeks, we have been studying the church universal, or the invisible church.
过去的两周呢，我们一直在学习关于普世教会，或者说是那个看不见的教会的真理。
We've looked at it from various ways, and we see that it is the crowning work, it would seem, of God's creation.
我们从不同的角度来审视了这个普世教会，它是在神的众多的创造物当中是最高级的，是被戴上那个最高的冠冕的那一个创造物。
And that the church is looked at in such a relationship that the church is called the bride of Christ.
教会和主的关系如此之近啊，被称为它是基督的新娘。
Now last week, we looked at a number of different truths and we talked about the church as being the body of Christ.
上个星期呢，我们谈到了关于普世教会的七个真理，其中一个呢，就是教会是基督的身体。
Now after our study last week,some stayed a little bit longer after the meeting, and one sister asked a very good question.
上次课结束以后呢，我们有些人呢在课后留了一段时间，其中有一个姐妹呢问了一个非常好的问题。
I made the statement that the church, being the fullness of Him, of Christ,that Christ, in a sense, was not complete now without the church.
因为我在上周的讲课当中呢提到，就是教会是基督的完满，也就是说呢，在目前现在这个时候，因为基督还没有完全得着教会，从某种意义上说呢，基督还不是那么完全的。
Now, the sister asked a very good question.
然后这个姐妹呢，就此问了一个非常好的问题。
That Christ is God himself and lacks nothing. He's completely self-sufficient in himself.
她的问题就是，她说基督就是神嘛，他神是完全的自给自足，就是他是完全没有缺乏的。
And that to say that he would be incomplete without the church, would be wrong.
然后他认为如果我们说基督没有教会就不完满，这个说法应该不正确。
Now I admit that this is a very difficult subject.
我也承认这的确是一个非常难讲的一个话题。
There are many mysteries in the New Testament.
因为新约里面有很多的奥秘。
But these mysteries, they've been revealed, through the New Testament by the Holy Spirit. And we have the answers to those mysteries given to us by the apostles' doctrine.
但是借着保罗的教义啊，就是圣灵也会给我们一些关于这些奥秘的答案。
And so they're not mysteries any longer.
也就从这个意义上说，他们已经不再是奥秘了。
But there are two great mysteries that are mentioned in the New Testament.
在新约里面呢，提到了两个极大的奥秘，两个极大的奥秘。
And though the Holy Spirit reveals much, they can never be completely understood, I don't think.
但不管这个圣灵呢启示我们多么充分，我个人认为呢，我们都不可能完全明白。
Those two mysteries are the mystery of the incarnation and the mystery of Christ and the church.
那这两个极大的奥秘是什么呢？一个就是主道成肉身，第二个奥秘呢就是教会和基督之间的关系。
Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16.
我们翻到提摩太前书的三章十六节。
1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And Paul says, without any controversy, everybody agrees that great is the mystery of godliness.
在这里啊，就是在提摩太前书三章十六节，毫无疑问，没有任何人对此会提出疑问。保罗在这里说，就是关于神的奥秘，大灾镜前的奥秘。
God was manifested in the flesh.
那这个奥秘呢，就是神道在肉身显现，道成了肉身。
He was justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached among the Gentiles.Believed on in the world and then received up into glory.
大灾镜前的奥秘无人不以为然，就是神在肉身显现，被圣灵称义，被天使看见，被传于外邦，被世人信服，被接在荣耀里。
Now that's the first mystery, and no one can completely understand that great mystery.
这就是第一个极大的奥秘，没有人能够完全的明白这个奥秘。
There is a man now in heaven where there never was a man from all eternity past.
现在呢，在天上有一个人了，在永恒的过去里，天上是没有人的。
And there will be a man in the glory, the man Christ Jesus, who will be there in all eternity future.
而且将来在永恒的未来，永远都会有一个人，那就是主耶稣基督自己，在荣耀里面。
And as Carl pointed out last week, he will bear the marks of his work here on earth when he purchased for himself a bride.
而且上一次 Carl 弟兄也指出来一点非常重要，他就是说在天上这个人就是基督这个自己呢，他身上会带着他在这地上用付上极大的代价买赎他的新娘所做的工的印记，那个痕迹就是他的钉痕。
In addition, that sacrifice also purchased the redemption of the entire creation.
而且他的这样的救赎啊，是不仅救赎了教会，也是为所有的被造物都赎清了罪。
But why did God become a man?
那为什么神要成为一个人呢?
This leads us to the second great mystery.
这个问题呢，就带领我们到了第二个奥秘。
God contemplated a family that would be included, as it were, in a closeness to himself.That only could be described as his bride and children brought into the closest fellowship possible to himself.
因为在神的心里呢，他是在他已经构想了一个家庭的成员，这个家人呢跟他的关系如此之近，只能用孩子和父亲以及新郎和新娘这样的亲密的关系来描述。
So when we come to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 32, we read about that second great mystery.
我们在以弗所书的五章三十二节呢，就可以读到这第二个极大的奥秘。我们可以翻到那里。
And he uses the example or the type of Adam and Eve. In verse 31, he refers to the statement that he made there when Adam received his bride.
他在31节用亚当和夏娃做例子，或者说做预表来解释这个事情。在31节提到的这个二人呢，就是亚当和夏娃，当亚当迎娶了夏娃的时候。
God was using, by the Spirit, let me rephrase that. Paul is using, by the Spirit of God, the picture of Adam and Eve, picturing Christ and the church here.
我们可以这样说，保罗呢，在这里被圣灵引导啊，是用亚当和夏娃来描述基督和教会的关系。
And he says in verse 31, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
以弗所书五章三十一节，为这个缘故，人要离开父母，与妻子联合，二人成为一体。
So they are no longer two, but they are one.
他们再不是两个人了，而是一体了。
Now in the same way, he says, here, this is a great mystery, but, he says, what I'm speaking about is something far bigger.
32节，这是极大的奥秘，但是我是指着比这更大的事物说的，那就是指着基督和教会说的。
He says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
这是极大的奥秘，但我是指着基督和教会说的。
So the church and Christ are one.
所以基督和教会呢是一体的。
The relation of Christ and his church is not like a king to his subjects in the kingdom.
所以基督和教会的关系啊，不是国王和他的所辖管的臣民之间这样的关系。
Israel will have that, they will occupy that relationship when they receive their long promised Messiah.
当以色列民族最终他们接受了他们盼望已久的弥赛亚的时候呢，他们就进到了这样的关系里面，就他们就是成为了国度里的臣民。
The saved during the tribulation and the millennium, they're going to own Christ as their sovereign Lord, as subjects in his kingdom.
那些在大灾难和以后千禧年过程中得救的以色列人呢，他们会接受耶稣基督做他们的王，他们做这个王的臣民。
But the church's relationship to Christ is one of a living spiritual union.
但是基督和教会的关系呢，是合一的，活着的。属灵的联合体。
It's not an exterior relationship like a king with his subjects.
它不是一个立体的，就是上下级的这样关系，是王和臣民这样的关系。
But the church is in a vital, a living connection with the Lord, just as a body is connected to the head.
而是呢，教会和基督的关系是一个活着的，连在一起的，一个统一体，就像头和身体这样的关系。
Now, when we come to this passage that we read last week that was brought the subject to the front. That's in in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23.
嗯，我们上个星期呢，当讲到就是教会是基督的使基督更完满的这个点的时候呢，我们提到的经文呢是以弗所书的一章二十二和二十三节。
The preceding verses outline the utmost place where Christ is in the universe.
嗯，那前面的就是二十二和二十三节前面的这些经文呢，是强调的是基督的他这个最高的至高的这个地位。
And in verse 22, we read, and he put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
嗯， 22和23节是这么说的，又将万有伏在他的脚下，使他为教会做万有之首，教会是他的身体，是那充满万有者所充满的，这是中文的翻译。
Now in verse 22 it says that all things are put under his feet, but we are his body, so all things are also put under the church as the body of Christ.
22节又将万有伏在他的脚下，那万有伏在他的脚下，那我们教会呢是基督的身体，也就是说万有也都在我们的脚下。
But verse 23 was where the question arose.
那23节呢是这个姐妹提出这个问题的这个这节涉及到这节经文。
And it was the question, it talks about the church which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
他这个23节的这个英文呢，它的原文是这么说的，他说教会是他的身体，是那充满万有者的完满。Fullness 是一个名词，而不是充满万有者所充满的。
Now, the word fullness, or in the Greek, it's pleroma, which means that which has been or has been filled. Something that has been filled is the fullness of that.
嗯，这个 fullness 呢，这个希腊原文呢，它的意思是一个被充满了的东西，就是如果一个什么东西被充满了，那它就是 fullness， 它的状态就是完满的。
So, in Colossians, if you turn over to the book of Colossians, and there's a couple of verses there that we might refer to give us a little more light on this subject.
嗯，我们可以翻到哥罗西书，哥罗西书有些经文呢，可以帮助我们理解这个 fullness， 这个完满的意思。
Again, in verse 18 of that first chapter, we read that he, that is Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, then all things he may have preeminence.
嗯，哥罗西书的一章十八节，他也是教会全体之首，他是原始，是从死里首先复生的，使他可以在凡事上居首位。
And certainly, as a head, the head always has preeminence. It's the most important part of the body.
嗯，所以既然基督是头啊，那头就是全身体最重要的部分，他是居首位的。
But then look at chapter 2 and verse 9.
我们再看二章九节，还是哥罗西书啊。
There we read that for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
因为神本性一切的丰盛都有形有体的居住在基督里面，这个丰盛的英文就是 fullness.
Well, that we can understand, or at least we don't have a question about that. We understand that he is very God.And when he was in his flesh on earth, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When he was on earth, he never ceased to be what he was before. And he still is today in heaven, the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
所以这些经文呢，我们都能理解，我们都没有疑问。他是在讲，当基督在地上的时候，他依然是神，就是他依然拥有神完全的神性，也就是神本体，一切的丰盛都在他里面有形有体的居住。他到现在也是一样，永远他也是这样，他都有神完全的本性的丰盛。
But then in verse 10, we notice this next verse, and he says, he continues, and you.Are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power.
然后我们再看第十节，他说你们，这你们就是指教会，你们在他里面也得了丰盛，他是各样执政掌权者的元首。
So just as Eve was, something was taken to create, just as,let me start over. When Eve was created,Something was removed from Adam to build Eve.
所以我们都知道，当夏娃被造的时候呢，是从亚当里面取出了一部分来造的夏娃。
God did not do as he did with all the other creatures where he made them male and female.
神造夏娃的时候呢，他不是像他造其他的生物那样，是一下子就把不能说。对，反正他是一对一，那时候是一对一对造的，有公有母，但是造人的时候不是这样。
Instead, what he did, he made out of one, he made two, that they might be joined together as one again.
他造人的方式呢，是先造了一个人，然后再从这人里面呢造出另外一个，然后使他们二人再合为一体。
And so you might say Eve was complete in Adam.
所以你可以说呢，夏娃呢是在亚当里面得了丰盛，得了完整。
She was all Adam.
因为他都是亚当，因为他是亚当的一部分造的嘛。
He was her source.
亚当是夏娃的源头。
And the end of it was that he would receive her back to himself, that they might be one.Again.
然后他也是亚当的结束，就是当亚当把夏娃迎娶来，他们二人合为一体的时候呢，亚当又变得完整了。
And so the church in the same way is completed in Christ. We're complete in him, it says.
所以我们教会也是一样，就是我们在基督里面也得了丰盛，也得了完整，这个丰盛也是 fullness 的意思，就是 fullness 这个词。
Again, compare those two verses, a statement, a phrase in those two, out of each of those verses. We look at the first phrase is, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. So we get that connection, a vital connection there.
我们再看这两节经文啊，就是九节十节。九节里面是说，神的一切的Fullness, 一切的丰盛都有形有体的居住在基督的里面。然后第十节呢是你们在他里面也得了丰盛。所以这看到有一个很关键的连接了这里。
Now, this has a practical outworking. It's not all theoretical.
所以这里不光只是一个理论上的概念，它是有实际的应用的。
This is probably the highest truth in the New Testament.
这可能是整个新约啊最高的一个真理了。
And Paul prayed a special prayer that the Ephesians might be able to understand what he was talking about.
所以保罗呢是在以弗所书里做了一个特别的祷告，是希望我们能够明白他所说的这些真理。
Turn again to the first chapter of Ephesians.
我们再回到以弗所书的一章。
Consequent to Paul's hearing of their faith, he began to pray that they might understand what they had been brought into.
所以当保罗听说以弗所教会人的信心的时候呢，以后呢他就开始祷告，希望呢他们能够明白他们所得的恩召啊是何等指望，就让他们明白他们被带到了一个怎样的祝福里面。
Therefore, he says, I also, in verse 15, sorry.
15节。
Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
我们读15到18节，因此我既听见你们信从主耶稣，亲爱众圣徒，就为你们不住的感谢神，祷告的时候常提到你们，求我们主耶稣基督的神，荣耀的父，将那赐人智慧和启示的灵赏给你们，使你们真知道他，并且照明你们心中的眼睛，使你们知道他的恩召有何等指望，他在圣徒中得的基业有何等丰盛的荣耀。
That's the first of the great revelations that Paul was praying that they might see.
这是保罗在祷告，求他们能够求主让他们能看见这第一层伟大的真理。
The hope of God's calling that they would understand what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
这第一层的真理就是使你们知道他的恩召有何等指望，他在圣徒中得的基业有何等丰盛的荣耀。
What God has invested in the saints is everything that his son has won by his great victory.
也就是说他儿子在这个他的借着他的牺牲所得的胜利，所得的这一切啊，神都把他投资在或者说赐给这个圣徒了。
Just as Eve owed her life and all blessings to Adam, so the church owes our very life and all the blessings, everything that Christ has is ours by inheritance.
正像夏娃啊，她的生命和她一切的祝福都是全部来自亚当一样，我们教会所有的生命和祝福也都是来自主耶稣基督一样，我们是从他那里得着了基业。
And the riches of his glory, we can say those words without really understanding exactly what they mean.
虽然我们也能够看懂这个丰盛的荣耀这个词，但是其实我们真的不是很明白它到底有多丰盛。
The glory of God is the highest that we can apprehend in honor and majesty.
就神的荣耀啊，是我们能够想象的那个最高的、至高的这个荣耀了。
And he has placed that through Christ on the church.
然后他借着耶稣呢，把这个荣耀给了教会。
He's never done that to angels.
他没有把这个他从未把这个给过天使。
They had their own created glory.
他们有作为被造物自己的荣耀。
But the glory that God is putting in the church is an uncreated glory. It's from God himself.
但是神赐给教会的荣耀啊，不是我们这受造的荣耀，是神他自己的荣耀。
Do we really understand our position, the universal church? Every simple believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has been brought into this great position.
我们作为普世教会的一份子，每一个重生得救的基督徒，我们真的明白我们在基督里面的地位到底是怎么样的吗？
What privileges we have been given.
我们被赐予了是怎样的一个荣幸啊，怎样的一个特权呢？
That's the first thing that he prays for.
这是保罗所祷告的第一件请求。
But then, he, in verse 19, we have a conjunction, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated at his right hand in the heavenly places.
嗯，然后十九节我们看到这有一个连词，并且就是而且和的意思，并知道他向我们这信的人所显的能力是何等浩大，就是照他在基督身上所运行的大能大力，使他从死里复活，叫他在天上坐在自己的右边。
Now this working of his mighty power is a theme that goes through this epistle.
嗯，这个就是借着他的圣灵所做的这个伟大的工作，贯穿了整个以弗所书。
Or I should say it's one of the themes that go through this epistle.
或者说这个是以弗所书的主题之一。
We'll look at another occurrence of this amazing thing where the very power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in us.
我们在以弗所书里还有几次地方可以看到，就是反复的说，就是在使基督从死里复活的这圣灵的大能啊，也运行在我们里面。
Now, that's this high calling in chapter 1, as I said, Paul is praised that the Ephesians might know this. They might have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
所以在这一章呢，保罗是在祷告啊，求主让以弗所教会的信徒能够明白他们所得的这个崇高的呼召啊是有何等的指望，能够明白这圣灵向他们的启示和能力是何等的大。
Now, a key to really knowing this truth is that he's not praying that they might receive the truth, but they might receive the knowledge of him, verse 17.
所以这个明白这些真理的关键啊，保罗在这里祈求不是说让他们去接受真理本身，而是接受他，就是接受基督自己。
Because you can only understand your position in Christ when you apprehend yourself in him.
只有把你自己融入到他里面呢，你才能真的明白你在他里面的地位。
This is a truth that must be experienced rather than being held at an arm's length and becoming something that we can try to explain, I guess is one way to put it.
所以这样的一个真理啊，是要去经历的，而不是能话语能把它解释的，它是要亲身去进入去经历的。
But knowing this truth, is one thing. But how then, we must assimilate it. We must make it real in our lives.
那知道真理是一回事，把它应用在我们的生命中，变成我们生命中的真实呢，又是另外一回事。
Now, in chapters 2 and 3, Paul continues to expand on the place that the Christian has been put in Christ.
在接下去的以弗所书的二章和三章里呢，保罗进一步的阐述，就是基督徒啊是被放在了在基督里放在了一个怎样的地位上。
And he finishes his doctrinal part of his epistle, starting in verse 14 to the end of the chapter.Chapter 3, verse 14.
当他把这教义的部分都解释完了以后呢，在三章十四节开始。
And we read, For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he...would grant you according to the riches of his glory. There's that phrase again that we met in chapter 1. to be strengthened with might through his spirit. There's the second concept.
Mm-hmm.
And that means in the inner man himself. That's where this truth must find its home.
嗯，然后就从三章十四节开始呢，保罗就开始祷告了。他已经讲完了教义的部分，他开始祷告了。他说：“因此我在父面前屈膝啊，天上地上的各家都是从他得名，求他按照他丰盛的荣耀。”这第一点呢，我们刚才在以弗所书一章那个祷告里面知道，这是第一层。然后借着他的灵，叫你们心里的力量刚强起来，这是。刚才也提到的就是那个圣灵的能力，这里面他心里的力量，也就是你里面那个人，就是这你里面的人是才是这个所有的真理的那个归宿，是那个真理的家。
Now the purpose for which God has revealed this truth, as well as to give the strength through His Spirit to be able to enable us to do it. The reason for that, the purpose, is found in that verse 17.
那神为什么要启示给我们真理？为什么要把这力量放在我们那个新的那个人里面呢？就里面那个人里面呢？这个目的呢，就是在17节里面讲清楚了。
And verse 17 reads, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
就是17到19节讲了这个目的啊，使基督因你们的信住在你们心里，叫你们的爱心有根有基，能以和众圣徒一同明白基督的爱是何等长阔高深，并知道这爱是过于人所能测度的，便叫一切神一切所充满的充满了你们。这里又有这个 fullness 这个词了。
Now it says there in verse 17, the phrase that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The word dwell there.
我们看他说
OK.
使基督因你们的信住在你们里面，他用了住这个词。
Christ dwelling in our hearts means that the very Godhead, God manifest in the flesh, now exalted in heaven, will actually find a home within your heart and my heart.
住这个词啊，它揭示了这样一个真理，就是这个神自己啊，他曾经道成肉身，他现在又升到天上，又回到荣耀里，这样的一个神呢，他现在在你和我的心里找到了一个他的住处。
Now Paul was praying for the Ephesians that that might be so.
所以保罗呢是为以弗所书为以弗所教会这样祷告的，希望他们真的能使基督住在他们的心里。
In the first verse, he calls them saints. So they were all believers in the Lord Jesus. They were all on their way to heaven. But now he's praying two prayers. One prayer is for that they might understand what they have been called to. And the other prayer now is that they might make good what God's purpose is for them.
所以在以弗所书的一章一节啊，保罗就称以弗所教会的人为圣徒。圣徒呢，就是他们都是信徒了，都是信主重生得救的了。所以保罗呢为他们做了两个祷告。第一个祷告呢，是让他们真明白他们在基督里面是有怎样的地位的。第二个祷告呢，就是使他们真的能够达成神做这一切的一个目的，让他们真的得着这个益处。
The question then is Christ dwelling in your heart and my heart? Has he found a comfortable home there, a permanent place where he can settle down in our lives and dwell there in perfect peace and harmony with us.
所以我们要面对的一个问题就是现在在你和我的心里，基督是不是找到了那个舒适的家，找到了那个永恒的居所，他可以在我们的心里非常的自如的舒服的和谐的放心的住在我们里面呢，用最和谐的关系和我们在一起呢。
And you might ask, well, how can that be? How can that happen?
你可能会问，那这是怎么才能达到呢？
This is accomplished, Paul tells us, through faith.
保罗告诉我们，这是凭信心才能成就的。
Now, the Ephesians, they were saved through faith. We read that in verse 8 of chapter 2.
以弗所教会的信徒呢，他们是凭着信心得救的，这是在二章八节里面说的。
We read, therefore, by grace you have been saved through faith.
你们得救是本乎恩，也因着信。
That's one thing. That's the beginning.
这是一方面，因为这是一个开始，开端。
And this is another theme in the book of Ephesians.
这是以弗所书的另外一个主题。
And then in verse 13 of that third chapter, we read this, or verse 12 rather, of in chapter 3.
在以弗所书的三章十二节啊，我们又读到。
In whom? Well, let's read verse 11 for our connection. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him.
我们从11节开始读啊，三章十一节，这是照神从万事以前，在我们主基督耶稣里所定的旨意。你看这里，我们因信耶稣就在他里面放胆无惧，笃信不疑地来到神面前。
So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we read that we have been saved through faith.
我们刚才在二章八节里面读到，我们是因着信得救的。
And that's wonderful.
这非常好，非常美好。
Praise the Lord for that.
我们要为此赞美神。
But he says, now I want you to come into my very presence.
但是呢，主还说，我希望你现在就能来到我的面前，不仅得救，还要来到我的面前。
And so he says we can have boldness and access by faith through him, in him, by faith in him.
所以这就是三章十二节所说的，我们因信耶稣，就可以在他里面，放胆无惧，毫无惧怕，来到神的面前。
And the book of Hebrews expands on that in the 10th chapter, in the 4th and the 10th chapters.
希伯来书的四章到十章啊，就把这个点呢展开来说的。
But down in verse 17, there's a further step, another progression.
但是到了十七节啊，就是以弗所书三章十七节，他又往前进了一步。
Where we have boldness and access into his presence, he wants to dwell in us.
主耶稣不单希望我们因着信他，凭着信心能够来到他的面前，在十七节里面说呢，他还希望我们因着信呢，让他能够住在我们的里面。
So verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith.
所以十七节说，使基督因你们的信住在你们心里。
What will that be like?
那会是一个怎样的情景呢？
It will be a heart full of love.
那会是一颗充满了爱的心，被爱所充满的心。
Love for God, love for mankind.
爱神也爱人。
That you, he says, being rooted and grounded in love.
是在你的爱心是有根有基的。
And he says, so that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints.
所以十八节他说，他继续说，能以和众圣徒一同明白基督的爱。
Now, in English, that word comprehend means to understand, but the Greek word, it has a different meaning.
在英语里面啊，这个明白这个词呢，就是 understand 这个词，就是明白。但希腊原文呢，是还有别的意思。
It means to lay hold of, so as to make it your own.
这个希腊原文的意思就是紧紧的抓住，或者说呢，让这个成为你的。
It means to seize something, to grab something and to take possession of it.
或者就说你是占有了什么，抓住了什么。
Now, is that what the Chinese, what does the Chinese, mean there?
Understand.
To understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem sometimes of the translation, because the Greek means it's something that you see and you want it and you grab it, you take it. Okay. It's yours when you possess it.
所以这个翻译啊，并没有准确的把那个希腊原文的意思都表达出来。但希腊原文这个词呢，它有这样几个意思，就是你看见了，然后你想要，然后你抓住它，然后把它变成了你自己的，它是有这样的意思的。
And this isn't just for a few select saints, special people. It says that you may be able to take possession of that with all the saints, everyone.
而且这个呢，不是仅仅属于那些一部分被拣选的圣徒，他这里面说的很清楚，是和众圣徒，就是每一个圣徒都可以得着的。
And so that he uses four dimensions to describe this. Now he uses an extra dimension.
所以他这里面呢，用了四个维度来描写这个爱，比我们的三维还要多一维啊。
Because it's almost indescribable.
因为这个爱啊，真的是，其实是很难以描述的。
Because if Christ is dwelling with you, you are the one that is in your heart is the one who is full of love.
因为如果基督住在你的里面啊，那住在你里面这个基督啊，他是充满，他里面全是爱。
And verse 19, he goes on so that he says to know the love of Christ.
所以十九节他说并知道这爱。
And that word know in the Greek means to know by experience. It's not something theoretical. It's knowledge gained by experience.
这里面这个十九节这个知道这个爱的这个知道在希腊原文里面的意思呢是你通过经历认识，而不是只是头脑里的那个知识，是你亲身经历以后得着的那个知识。
And the result is that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
那这个最终的结果是什么呢？就是叫神一切所充满的，也充满了你。
Now we've been speaking, Paul is speaking here rather of individuals. This is available to the individual.
保罗在这里面讲的这一段呢，全部都是对每一个个人说的，对每一个圣徒说的。
And when you turn over to the fifth chapter, where we read, chapter 5 and verse 18, where we have the command to be filled with the Spirit.
我们如果翻到接下去的五章啊，十八节。就是以弗所书的五章十八节，这里面呢就有一个命令，就是让我们要被圣灵充满。
We can understand now that he can make that command be filled with the Spirit.
所以现在我们能明白了，就是我们是可以被圣灵充满的，这个命令是可以实现的。
If we know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and he is dwelling in our hearts, then we will be filled with the Spirit.
也就是说，如果我们知道这爱，知道这个过于人所能测度的爱，我们让主住在我们的里面，那我们就被圣灵充满了。
So these are some thoughts that came to me during the week, because our sister asked that question, and it was a good question. And I encourage, if you do have questions, to to ask them because they often bring a lot of good things to the front.
所以正是因为这个姐妹上周问的这个问题啊，所以我这一个星期啊都在想这些，所以就是把我的想的呢就跟刚才跟大家分享了。所以大家有什么问题呢，尽管问，因为你的问题呢可能会把一些很好的东西啊呈现在大家的面前。
So this fullness is available now in this age to every individual believer.
所以也就是说在我们现在所处的这个时代啊，每一个圣徒都可以得到这样的丰满，得到这样的丰盛。
But there will be a time when, we will be taken into heaven, and that will be realized in ways I don't think we could ever imagine here. It's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
但是有一天呢，我们到天上的时候呢，是会以我们无法想象的一种方式啊，让我们真的最终完全得着基督和教会之间的那个完满的那个关系。
So now we've been talking about the church universal.
好，我们至今为止呢，一直都在讲这个普世教会。
But we want to spend a little bit of time tonight, talking about the local church.
那我们今天剩下的时间呢，我们来开始讲这个地方教会。
And I'm going to give Brother Harold a little time at the end of this, I'm going to give a definition more or less of the local church and some few thoughts. And then Brother Harold, if you would just, I'll leave you about 10 minutes or so or more if you like, I'm not sure, but, we'd like to turn now from the universal church down to us Christians gathered together in a local assembly.
我们现在呢要转换我们的视角啊，我们从这个普世的教会呢转到我们现在我们所处的这个在一个地方的一个聚会。我呢会讲一些关于今天呢这个剩下的时间呢会讲一些地方教会的定义还有一些相关的真理，然后最后给 Harold 的弟兄留十分钟看看他有什么要讲的。
The New Testament speaks of local churches which are composed of believers in any given locality any given locality.
那新约提到的地方教会呢就是在一个地方聚集的一群信徒。
And so, there we read of churches or assemblies of God's people at Jerusalem, at Corinth, Rome, and so on.
比如说我们读到在耶路撒冷的教会，读到哥林多教会，读到罗马教会，这些都是地方教会。
For example, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2.
我们翻到哥林多前书的一章二节。
There was a big assembly at Corinth, and Paul is writing to them. In verse 2, he addresses this letter to them. To the church of God which is at Corinth.To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all in every place, who call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours.
他这个写信的对象应该是哥林多这个城市呢，最大的一间教会了。所以在保罗呢，在一章二节里面呢，写清楚他这个写信的对象就是写信给在哥林多神的教会，就是在。基督耶稣里成圣蒙召做圣徒的以及所有在各处求告我主耶稣基督之名的人。
So notice that first of all, this letter is addressed specifically to those believers meeting in that place called Corinth.
首先我们要明确这封信呢他写给的这个对象呢就是在哥林多名叫哥林多这个地方的地方教会的圣徒的。
But he also addresses it to all those in every place, other cities and other towns, other parts of the world, every place. That is, you could say my assembly where I meet, it's addressed to me.
嗯，所以这封信首先是写给哥林多教地方教会的，同时他也说还有以及所有在各处求告我主耶稣基督之名的人，所以包括每个城不同的城市，甚至也包括你所在的那个教会。
And turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 1.
我们再翻到帖塞罗尼迦前书的一章一节。
And we note there, again, he's writing to a specific church, to the church of the Thessalonians.
嗯，那这里我们也看到这封信也是写给一个特别的，就是专门的一个教会的。他说是保罗、希拉、提摩太写信给帖塞罗尼迦在父神和主耶稣基督里的教会。
Now notice, he also includes not only the physical location,But what the spiritual home of that church is, it says that they are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
嗯，所以他不仅提到了这个这个地理上的这个地名啊，帖塞罗尼迦，还提到这个教会啊，他所处的这个属灵的这个家里面，他说在父神和主耶稣基督里的教会。
And then in Romans, at the last chapter of the book of Romans, chapter 16.
我们再翻到这个罗马书的最后一章十六章。
Rome was a big city.
嗯，罗马是一个很大的城市。
And there were many little churches and gatherings of the Lord's people there.
嗯，在这个城市里面有很多小的教会，属神的人都在那里聚集。
So in verse 5, he says, likewise greet the church that is in their house.That is in Priscilla and Aquila's house.
我们看16章的5节，又问在他们家中的教会安，他们呢就是指百基拉和雅居拉。
And then down in verses 14 and 15, you find that there are a couple of other groups or churches that Paul greets.
然后在14节和15节，我们看到还有其他聚集的这个不同的地方的教会。
In verse 14, he mentions a number of brethren there, and then the brethren who are with them. And then in verse 15, there's some more saints, and he mentions all the saints who are with them.
嗯，在十四节呢，他这里面提到了一些弟兄的名字，并提到并与他们在一处的弟兄们，他们是一个地方教会。然后十五节呢，他又提到了一些圣徒的名字，然后又说并与他们在一处的众圣徒，啊，他们又是另外一群地方教会的圣徒。
No, all these little gatherings, they were local expressions of the church of God.
嗯，所以这些呢，不同的地方聚集的圣徒呢，他们都是主耶稣基督身体在那个当地的一个体现，一个代表。
Now each was a completely sovereign unit.
嗯。它每一个呢都是一个完整的有独立性的一个单位。
They were independent of all the other churches.
嗯，他们是与其他的所有的其他的教会彼此关系都是平等独立的。
Though as we can see here, there was fellowship between them.
嗯，然后他们教会和教会之间呢也是有这个联系的，有爱的关系的。
And each one of those little local expressions, they were all subject to Christ, who is their head.
每一个小的地方教会呢，他们都是服从基督这个头的领导的，都是服在基督的权柄之下的。
Now the big question that faces a lot of people and a lot of arguments about is what constitutes a New Testament church?
嗯，所以现在我们很多人都面对的一个问题啊，就是新约的地方教会的宪法是什么？
Now the usual approach to the subject is that you make a list of certain characteristics, or requirements, and if a group of Christians, check off all the right boxes or the qualifications, then it's considered to be a true local church.
所以其中一个方法呢，就是我们把所有和圣经的这个地方教会的一些特征啊，把它列出来，像列一个清单一样的，然后你一项项去对比，如果你都符合这些特征和条件呢，那你就是一个属神的地方教会了。
So this raises a very real question. Does the New Testament list a certain number of requisites or essentials to be a local church?
但问题就来了，就是新约圣经里面是不是就真的列出了一些关于这个地方教会怎么应该所具备的一些核心特征或者一些要素的这样的一个清单吗？列出来过吗？
In the New Testament, are there marks of an assembly stated so clearly that any believer could go around and separate the various fellowships or churches in any area into those which are true and those that are not?
对，也就是说在圣经里面是不是清楚地列出了这样的一些标志，然后使得我们能够很明显的很清楚的就能把不同的教会区分出来，哪些是真的属神的教会，哪些不是。
We would suggest that you cannot do that. That's not the case.
我给大家的建议呢，就是你不能这样做，圣经并不是这么说的。
If becoming a true church was just a matter of conforming to a certain set of rules or certain patterns or going through some specific routine of meetings and so on, then it could be done quite mechanically with no spiritual exercise at all.
如果我们真的能像刚才说的那样，就按照一些既定的规条或者一些既定的模式，一些外在的一些仪式啊、条件啊，这样去组建一个教会的话呢，那这个教会的运作就变得机械了，而不是一个活的、有机的、属灵的操作了。
Because the position of this of a church, it might be very correct, yet the condition of the believers might be far from otherwise.
因为道理是这样的，因为信徒啊，就是这个基督徒的地位，他们是完美的，但是他们的属灵状况呢，可能却是千差万别的。
Instead of that, we believe that the New Testament approach is this, that all believers are instructed that by the grace of God, they are members of the church.
那我们认为呢是这样的，在新约里面每个基督徒呢都被神告知，在新约里面我们都是教会的成员。
Each of us is a member of the true church of God, who those that are born again.
那凡是重生得救的基督徒呢，都是神的真正的神的教会的成员。
So now the New Testament tells us that we are to gather together with others in such a way as to give expression to the great truths that we learn in the scriptures.
那新约圣经告诉我们呢，我们要和其他的圣徒聚集在一起，来把这个新约里面的真理把它表达出来。
Some assemblies of Christians, some little churches of Christians, they may give a very poor representation of the body of Christ.
那有些地方教会呢，有些这些小的这个基督的身体呢，他们可能为这个教会啊，为基督的身体做了不太好的代表。
And other groups of Christians may present a more faithful likeness. But no church does it perfectly.
嗯，但可能另外有一些教会呢，他们做的会更好一些，更忠心、更信实一些。但是呢，没有哪个教会是完美的。
So, a local church, if it follows the legalistic way, which says, if you meet certain requirements, you will become a church.
嗯，如果我们是按照律法的要求说，哦，你如果满足一些条件，那你们就是一个教会了。
Many denominations, they would have to have a leader or pastor or preacher or priest that was ordained by that denomination, and then they would have to do certain governmental rules that they might have and certain meetings they must follow, certain rules they must follow in order to become a proper church.
嗯，那在有些这个门派里面啊，宗派里面呢，他们可能是要指定或者说案例一个专门的牧师也好，神父也好，这个教职人员也好呢，那如果他们要这样做的话呢，他们就不得不有一套这种比较正式的严格的这种治理的模式或者是规则，要符合，他们会说你符合了这些规条以后，你就是一个合适的或者说好的教会了。
What about all the other little churches and places of gatherings where there's true believers? Are they not churches?
那除此不是这样的教会，那其他的但是也是基督徒聚集在一起的，他们就不是教会了吗？
I believe that the language of the New Testament is the language of grace.
嗯，但是我相信新约的这个语言啊，是恩典的语言。
And the New Testament would say this.
新约是这么说的。
You are a believer. You as believers.Are the church now meet in such a manner as to give an accurate expression of this fact to the world?
嗯，你们圣徒作为教会，你们聚集作为教会，向这个世界呢，用某种方式来向这个世界做见证。
What motivates the Christian is love for the Savior.
嗯，所以我每个基督徒里面的这个动机呢，是对主的爱。
And the love, this love should make us want to present a faithful image of the body of Christ to those around us.
这对主的爱呢，会激发我们做好这个基督的身体在地上的这个代表。
If we've been called to such a high calling as the Church of the living God, the universal church, we want to give accurate local expression of that truth to the world and those around us.
嗯，那我们既然呢领受了如此崇高的呼召啊，就是我们是那永活的神在这地上的代表，那我们就会在这个地方，这个某一个地方这个聚集的这样的一个身体里面呢，最准确的把基督在我们里面这个样子把它表达出来。
So the local church should be just a miniature of the church universal.
嗯，所以可以这么说，地方教会应该是普世教会的一个微缩版。
And it should be nothing more and it should do nothing less than glorify the head of the body.
既不要多也不要少，我们就是要荣耀我们这个身体的头，就是基督。
And it should give expression to the great truths that God has invested in the church.
嗯，要把神托付给我们教会的这伟大的真理啊，把它表达出来。
So, what are these truths?
嗯，那这些真理是什么呢？
What are these truths that the church must give a living testimony to?
嗯，就是我们教会要给出哪一些活着的这个好的见证呢？
Now, we've already referred to seven of these fundamental truths that that applied to the universal church. And so we're going to look at those same seven truths that applied to the universal church and see how the local church can express those truths.
我们上一节已经讲过了普世教会的七个真理，这就是神想让我们在这个世界上表达出来的这个七个真理。那我们来看看这些普世教会的七个真理怎么运用在地方教会，地方教会怎么把它具体的表达和应用出来。
The first of these truths is that there is one body.
那第一个真理呢，就是身子只有一个。
And we're going to begin to look at that next week.How the local church can express the truth of the one body.
我们下周开始呢要具体讲就是地方教会怎么样见证或者说表达就是身子只有一个这个真理。
The second truth is that Christ is the head of the body.
第二个真理呢就是基督是这个身体的头。
And we're going to spend some time probably next week on that truth.That Christ is the head of the body. How can the local church, illustrate and demonstrate that he is the head of the church?
可能我们可能也就是在下周我们也要花一点时间呢讲这第二点就是地方教会怎么来展示出来怎么把它说明出来就是基督是教会的身体这个头这样的一个真理。
And then the rest of the seven,The third, of course, is all believers are members of the body.
第三个呢就是每一个信徒都是身体的一个肢体。
And again, we're going to spend some time on that to see how the local church can express that truth.
同样我们也会花一点时间来讲这第三个真理怎么在地方教会里把它表达出来表现出来。
And the last four of the truths we're going to spend time on, each one.Because it will define for your mind, in your mind, what a local church, what it should express, what it's the truth that it should display.
那么剩下的这个四个真理呢，我们也同样要花时间一一的来看，怎么样去表达这些在地方教会的实践当中表达这些真理，让你们头脑中要有一个概念，就是地方教会怎么通过自己的实践把这七个真理展现出来。
So these last four, truths, I will just run through them, in order that we might preview them. The Holy Spirit is a representative in the church.
我还是快速的把这后面的四个真理呢提一下，这样给大家能有一个概念。第四个真理就是，圣灵是现在在地上基督的代表。
The church is holy.
第五个呢就是教会是圣洁的。
Gifts are given for the edification of the church, and we've talked about that last fall, or this early spring, I guess, or early winter, late winter.
第六个真理呢就是神赐下这个属灵的恩赐呢是为了使教会受益的是为了造就教会的。
And then all believers are priests of God.
最后一个真理呢就是所有的圣徒都是神的祭司。
So what we're going to do in the next little while, next few weeks, is we're going to take these truths one by one and see how the local assembly can demonstrate these truths to the world.
所以我们接下去的几周时间啊要一个一个的从这七个方面来看地方教会是怎么能把这些真理展现在世界世人面前的。
Next week we're going to take up the subject, the truth of the one body, and see how in a practical way that truth will be demonstrated through the local assembly.
那下周呢我们先看第一个真理就是身子只有一个我们来从实践操作的角度来看地方教会怎么把这个真理把它显明出来展现出来。
So,I'm going to just turn the rest of our time over to our brother Harold, and the Lord bless you, dear brother.
那我们下面的时间呢，就留给 Harold 长老，愿主祝福他。
Very, very good. Well, thank you for the opportunity of making a few comments.
谢谢给我这个机会啊，来做一点补充。
What Eric has been emphasizing in the last couple of weeks is the fact that there is a church universal and there is a church local.
那么过去的两周里面呢 ，Eric 一直在强调的一个重点呢，就是既有一个普世的教会，又有呢每个地方的教会。
The church universal is a little hard to understand because we never really see it.
这个普世教会这个概念呢很难明白，因为我们没有真正的看见过。
And Eric told us that all the Christians of all the ages are part of that church.
Eric 告诉我们，历世历代的所有的信徒全部都是这个普世教会的一部分。
So all the Christians in the world today are the church in the world today, but we never see them. And they're spread out all over the world. We can't identify it very clearly.
所以也包括我们今世这个现在所存的这个基督徒也是这个普世教会的一部分。所以普世教会呢是横跨所有的世代，也是遍布全球各地，所以我们是不能看见它的全貌的。
One day, when we get to heaven, we're going to see it. And frankly, it is going to be extremely beautiful and wonderful, and we're going to be amazed and excited about being part of it.
但是有一天我们到天上的时候，我们就能够看见这个普世的教会了。这个普世教会一定是非常美丽非常美好奇妙神奇的，我们也会非常的兴奋的。
Now the only other corporate structure in the New Testament is the local church.
那另外一个呢，在新约圣经里面提到的一个这种集体的组织呢，就是地方教会。
People can see that.
人们可以看见，这个是可以看到的。
And Eric is going to be telling us, as he already has, that our responsibility is to make that very, very beautiful.
对 ,Eric 呢已经讲了一点地方教会了，而且接着会讲更多。那我们的责任呢，就是要让我们的这个地方教会呢变得美丽，变得越来越美丽。
So it's true that we have a responsibility to the church universal, but our primary responsibility and our observed responsibility will be to the church local, to the local church.
当然我们对普世教会呢是负有责任的，但是我们更重要的责任，或者说更看得见的责任呢，是我们要向这个地方教会负责的。
Now, if that is the case, there is no other authoritative church organization in the Bible.
所以既然是这样呢，就圣经里并没有提到其他在这个教会之上的什么有权柄的这种组织或者机构了。
So the Apostle Paul said, you don't all report to me, you all report to Jesus.
所以使徒保罗说呢，你不用向我报告，你们都直接向耶稣基督报告。
And there were assemblies in Jerusalem and in Antioch that were very strong and powerful, but nobody reported to them.
我们都知道耶路撒冷和安提阿的教会呢，他们都很强壮，但是呢，没有提到说哪个教会要向他们报告负责的。
And so, there is in the world today a church hierarchy, but that is not seen in the New Testament.
那今天呢我们会看到一个教会的一个这种独裁体系啊，就是这个像一层一层的这种阶梯式的体系，但是圣经里是没有的。
Now the evidence for that is the fact that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and each of us in the body are members of the body, the church.Jesus the head, and we are all the members.
因为这个真理呢，就是这样一个事实，基督是教会的头，我们每个人呢，都是这个身体的一部分，我们都是身体。
Now it's interesting in my body that there are many interrelationships in the body.
当然我们的身体里面呢，肢体和肢体之间呢，有很多的相互的连结。
And if I were very athletic, you could see how everything ties together as I go through certain athletic motions.
特别是比如说我是如果是个很爱运动的人呢，我运动起来的话，你可以看到我的身体不同的部分是怎么协调配合一起这个行动的。
But it's very interesting that my hand reports to my head.
但是有趣的事情就是你可以看到我的手呢是向头报告的。
And my leg reports to my head.
那我的脚呢也是向头报告的。
And interestingly, my elbow also reports to my head.
而且呢我的这个肘部啊这手肘也是向头报告的。
And so I go in the right direction and I do the right thing because everything is centralized in the head.
我之所以能做正确的动作走正确的方向都是因为是大脑的指挥的缘故。
Now if my feet reported to my knee and my hand reported to my elbow, I could be in big trouble.
但是如果我的脚呢向我的膝盖负责报告，然后我的手呢要向我的手肘去报告的话呢，那我就有大麻烦了。
But I can be a coordinated being only because every member of my body reports to the same head.
我之所以能够成为一个协调统一的这个有机体啊，是因为所有的肢体、所有的器官都向头报告，都听头的指挥。
Now the organizations of the world are not that way.
但是这个世界里这个地上的组织却不是这样的。
And in a company, the workman reports to the foreman, who reports to the manager, who reports to the general manager, who reports to the vice president, who reports to the executive vice president, who reports to the president. That's how they...Structures operate in the world.
在地上的机构里呢是这样的，工人呢向工头报告，工头呢向经理报告，经理呢向总经理报告，总经理呢向副总裁报告，副总裁呢向总裁报告，总裁呢向董事长报告。
And frankly, that's the only way it could operate because one man cannot control all the members in the factory.
那事实上呢，在世界里大概也只能用这样的方式来管理了，因为一个人他不可能去控制这个工厂里面所有的人，同时控制所有的人。
But in the body that can happen because the brain is the most complicated and able organization known to man.
但是在我们人体里呢却可以做到，因为人体的大脑呢是最有能力的，是最复杂的结构，是我们人所目前所知道的最复杂最有能力的结构了。
And the same thing can happen in the church because the Lord Jesus Christ is responsible for everybody.
然后在教会这个体系里呢也能够这样平行的管理呢之所以成为可能是因为基督是我们的头，他可以同时控制所有的身体。
Now, two conclusions from this.
所以我们从此呢可以得出两个结论。
Number one, as individuals, you as a Christian, your responsibility is first and foremost to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to learn that all the Christians are priests,Each one of us responsible to Jesus.
所以第一个结论呢就是作为基督徒个体，我们每一个基督徒首要的责任都是要向你的头基督耶稣负责。
So we can't say, well, I'm just following Waldo. I'm following somebody else. That's how I'm going to build the church. That's how I'll get to heaven.
这就是我们讲到的那个每一个基督徒都是祭司，讲的就是这个道理了。所以我们不能说我是向张三负责的，我或者说我是向李四负责的，我是属他的，这个不可以。
That is never the case, and that is why we come to Bible study like we're at right now, because we realize we have a responsibility to the Lord Jesus Christ in the context of the church.
所以这样做是不对的，这也是我们为什么要来这里参加圣经学习。我们要明白在教会的这个体系里，我们每个人都是首先要向基督负责的。
And that gives to each of us not only a great privilege and great blessings, but it gives to each of us great responsibility.
所以这使我们每个人呢，不仅有极大的荣幸，或者是能够得着极大的祝福，同时呢，也是我们所负的极大的责任。
Now the same thing is true at the church level.
那第二个结论呢，就是在教会这个层面也是同样的。
Each church, each assembly, each gathering together of Christians reports to the Lord Jesus, not to a higher structure. We all report to the Lord Jesus.
所以在地方教会这层面也是一样的，每一个地方教会都是直接向主耶稣基督报告的，不存在一个上级教会，不需要向上级教会报告。
Therefore, each church is responsible to the Lord Jesus. We can't just say, oh well, no, we are responsible to the Lord Jesus as a local assembly.
所以也就是说，作为地方的一个基督徒聚会的地方，每一个地方教会都要直接向主耶稣基督负责任，我们对主都是有责任要承担的。
There may be hundreds in that congregation, and that congregation will report directly to Jesus.
也可能你的教会里有100个成员，那这整个这个教会里也要向基督报告。
There may be very few in that church, and as a church, it reports directly to the Lord Jesus.
那也可能一个教会呢，它人数非常少，但是不管人数再少，它也是要直接向主报告的。
And you'll remember that the Lord Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them.
我们都记得主耶稣自己说过，他说你们两三个人奉我的名聚会，我就在你们中间。
So all of this then is very exciting and very wonderful, but it places a great responsibility on each of us to be in close fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If he doesn't direct us, we will crash.
所以这个真理呢非常的美好，也是我们极大的这个荣幸和祝福，但同时呢，我们要知道我们也身负巨大的责任，我们必须保持和主耶稣基督这紧密的联系，就如果他们如果主没有办法指挥我们的话呢，我们就会崩塌了，我们就会崩溃了。
These are truths and principles that Eric will be delving into as time goes on as we go through this study. I remind you of it tonight in order for us to understand the importance of this marvelous truth. We all have the ability as members of the body to live for Jesus.
所以这些真理呢，会随着我们今后的这个学习展开呢，会更详细的阐述。那我今天要给大家强调的一个重点呢，就是我们每个人呢，神都给了我们这个能力，让我们能够向耶稣基督负责。
All right, well, our time is gone, and we've had a good time this evening. Praise the Lord.
我们今天晚上的时间非常的过得非常好，学得非常好，我们感谢神。
So we'll pray and then we'll get together again next week, and by the grace of God, we will live up to the responsibilities in the church in the meantime.
所以我们要祷告啊，我们也祈求神让我们能够活出这样的神给我们的这个要求，让我们在这个教会的这个层面能够为达到神所让我们所做到的。
So let's pray.
我们一起祷告。
Lord, we want to thank you for bringing us into fellowship with the great God of heaven and his son Jesus Christ.
主，我们感谢你，你让我们能够进入和天上的神以及他的圣子耶稣基督之间的爱的团契关系。
It's an amazing thing, Lord. We have been born again as we trust in the Savior, and we've been made new. We've been brought into the family of God.
这真是很奇妙。当我们信靠耶稣基督的时候，我们就从上面重生了，然后我们就成了一个新人，也成了神家的一员。
But Lord, just as all members of the family have responsibilities to the family, so all members of the body have responsibilities to the head.
正像家里的每一个成员对这个家都有责任一样，那基督的身体里的每一个肢体也都对这个身体的头基督负有责任。
Lord, each of us would acknowledge Jesus Christ as our head, and we would thank thee for the members of the body with which we're able to work closely as a church.
主啊，我们每个人都承认基督是我们的头，我们也感谢您赐给我们跟我们一起工作的身体里的肢体，让我们一起为神为头负责。
And so, Lord, we're praying that you will help us to live individually for your glory and with our brothers and sisters in the church so that that also can be an evidence of your glory.
主，我们祈求让我们既在个人的生活中能够荣耀你的名，也让我们和弟兄姐妹们一起共同的一起做那荣耀的见证，能够使您的名得着荣耀。
We thank you for this high calling that we've been hearing about tonight.
我们为我们今天所听到的这崇高的呼召感谢你。
We pray that by God's grace, we will live up to it for the glory of our blessed Savior.
主，我们祈求，愿我们能够活出这样的生命，能够荣耀我们的救主。
And we give thanks now in Jesus' name.
我们这样的感恩是奉耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.